Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents time. I'm Brian Kelly. I'm flying solo today. The Wookiee's in control of the ship again. And Lucas swashbuckling himself somewhere on the other side of the galaxy. You're listening to us here on Dueling Tangents on WTTN 1580 AM and 92.7 FM Devil Radio. Also on WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM The Shaw on a Waukesha. Always streaming on the Devil Radio app. You can always give me a call or text at 844-967-2789. Join along. I'm flying solo today, so I'd love to have your wonderful conversation at 844-967-2789. We're going to have a fun time today. It is MLK Day. Congratulations for everyone who has the day off, rightfully so. I think it's time that we actually talk about MLK for a little bit. We're going to get into that. I got a couple different perspectives on him for you. Michael Gableman has officially subpoenaed Dominion. We'll talk about that a little bit. And I have a wonderful piece about MLK by Reggie Jackson. We'll read that as a little bit. But I also woke up to a little bit of sad news this morning. I'm not sure if any of you found yourselves, let's say, driving in the middle of the night in the greater Chicagoland area. And what I mean by that is, I don't know, pretty much between Chicago and Iowa. Or that same distance all the way to almost most of the way through Michigan. You're driving overnight in the middle of nowhere. Time is in the middle of nowhere as well. There's not many live shows on, but if you want to hear some talk radio, you probably end up finding yourself listening to Les Grobstein. Les Grobstein's been in the radio business for decades. Pretty much if you want to talk about a coaching tree like Belichick or the coaching tree from Andy Reid and that type of thing, Holmgren, that type of thing, Les Grobstein pretty much had every intern that has ever made it ever in the business work for Les Grobstein, and all the other ones that didn't either, because Les Grobstein did the overnights. I found out that Les Grobstein passed at the age of 69. He would laugh his face off at that and have about, you know, five or six jokes about that. So the radio business has just lost a really wonderful broadcaster in Les Grobstein. He's one of those folks that just never changed. Literally, he just never changed. I mean, the guy only recorded things. He was a beat reporter. He was in the booth for the Chicago Bears type of thing. Just to give you an idea, these are some anecdotes that I've heard. He's the kind of guy who would he'd have a one of those old Memorex tape recorders, you know, because he knew how to use that and didn't want to learn how to use the other stuff. So he sometimes would have to hold his tape recorder up to the microphone just to get it through. He's the kind of guy who would pull out a you're at the Bears game, right? You're in the press booth for the Bears game. You can get pretty much anything you wanted if you wanted to. He pulls out crackers and makes himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the peanut butter and jelly that you get from the hotel lobby and stuff like that. He's one of those type of guys. But he's one of those one of a kind, not going to be anybody but himself type of people, and he's celebrated. So I found out that today, and I wanted to pass it along to you. If any of you have heard of the Grobber, Les Grobstein, I'd love to hear your experiences with him, because the guy's been in Chicago radio forever, and will be missed as well. Just wanted to give a shout out to the Grobber. All right, so today is Martin Luther King Day. We are celebrating it. There's a bunch of people who had a problem with even celebrating this day. I personally learned about Martin Luther King in junior high. I mean, we had heard about him beforehand, but I went to junior high Catholic school in New Hampshire at the time. And my teacher was John Cloutier, a really tall, giant, imposing guy with a really long beard who could pass and did pass for, you know, biker type of guy, large, rotund man, and, you know, could probably walk through a brick wall without noticing it. He's a very, but also a very gentle and wonderful guy. But he taught me all about the life and, you know, the teachings of Martin Luther King. And that's what opened the doors to me. And for if you're wondering how your kids are being taught this, you should know. You know, my daughter, I think in second grade even, as early as that, made posters about justice and equality, and they had marches around the school. And, you know, it's hard for you think it's hard for kids to wrap their heads around the concept of what, you know, Martin Luther King stood for and things like that. But really, it's fairness. If you talk to the kids about fairness and about how, you know, these people looked at these people and said they're different because of the color of their skin. And then, you know, any kid can relate to that. That's not fair. You know, it's not right. And, you know, for me, I looked at racism in general, and I was like, this is the most lazy, stupid philosophy I've ever thought of. I could ever concept of. Like, it's just to hate or dislike somebody or just pick something arbitrary like that to set somebody apart so that you can be better is just it. People do it all the time. I brought up Les Grobstein for a reason. Les Grobstein's also one of those weird eccentric guys. In remembrance of him, everybody talked about him like, well, I made fun of him, but you know, it was all in love and things like that. You know, he's kind of an eccentric guy, and he was a kind of outcast. And I think this is what we're getting to here. Is that guy, you know, we as a natural people, we tease people. We beat a little people to kind of make ourselves better than them, especially if they're different, you know. If they exhibit something different, we use something arbitrary to set ourselves apart from them. And then we justify it like, oh, they're just, you know, different that way. And with because we don't want to see ourselves as mean or arbitrarily hateful. But we are. I mean, I joke all the time. I have this weird distaste for Eddie Redmayne, but I know it's ridiculous. He's a decent actor. He's probably a decent guy. But I look at him and I'm like, I hate you. I don't like you. And I know it's stupid, so I don't. I watch his stuff with that in mind, knowing that it's just something innate in me. I'm using this as an example of how we talk and think about other people. And so when I talk to my daughter about Martin Luther King, and I talk to my daughter about, you know, racism or discrimination of any kind, I frame it in terms of fairness, and of how, you know, you want to look at somebody based on who they are and what they do. You know, content of their character type of thing. And I also go and let her know that I expect of her to be the kind of person to not let someone sit in a corner alone. If they want to, that's fine, but at least try and include everybody. My daughter's an only child, and one of the things I told her is like, you don't like being alone, do you? You know how it is to feel alone. So think of the other kids in those classes that are alone. That maybe people don't play with as much, or maybe they look different. So, you know, we're going to go to junior high soon, and boy, junior high is just a cesspool of hormones and mutation of kids. But they're going to start setting themselves apart from each other based on arbitrary things like, oh, that they wear all black all the time, or those are the poor kids, or status, or by class. And even that is, those are harder to define. But imagine adding the layer of, well, oh, your skin's different, screw you. You know, and these are the things that I was taught about. And I think the reason why we need to continually talk about this man every single year, MLK Day, and then pretty soon it's going to be Black Awareness Month. And you're going to see a lot of people jumping out there, you know, saying, why is this happening? Why are we being pushed this and all this stuff? And you hear the shouts of critical race theory. Oh, my God, how can we be taught to feel bad about it, you know? Well, if my parents or grandparents were the ones in those photos pouring things on kids at a lunch counter, I'd be pretty ashamed, too. And we should feel that shame so we can do better. So we cannot do that. So we can look at that and go, wow, that was pretty dumb. That's a really stupid way of thinking. Maybe there's other things to do besides pour stuff on kids at counters who want to just have lunch there. But these things get spiraled out of control. So you need to go and nip it in the bud, you know? And it starts with education. And that's, I think that's the crux of this whole critical race theory argument, yelling back and forth. Oh, you can't teach it. We'll define it. Well, I don't know. I just don't want my kids growing up feeling bad about being white. Okay. Well, that's a heavy lift to go and try and ensure that, you know. I want to read from our new DPI, Jill Underley, state superintendent. She left this out today here. In 1947, an article read "The Purpose of Education" appeared in the Morehouse College campus newspaper. In it, the author argued that education must enable one to sift and weigh evidence, to discern the true from the false, the real from the unreal, the fact from the fiction. He boiled it down to a direct truth. The function of education, therefore, is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. And that article was written by a student barely 18 years old, and that's Martin Luther King Jr. He went to Morehouse, one of the historically black colleges. And Jill Underley, she's outlining the importance of education, not necessarily to sit there and make you feel bad, oh my goodness. It's about trying to be able to think critically and go, oh man, that's not a really good policy. We should do this otherwise. I'm going to read the follow-up paragraph here, the ending one from her. Me, I will follow the teachers of a young student from Morehouse College. I will look at the evidence to see what works, like high-quality early childhood education. Then I will advocate for these investments. I will discern the true from the false, like lifting up the true expertise of Wisconsin's education, one time of great uncertainty and doubt. I will separate the real from the unreal, like prioritizing the all-too-real mental health needs of our students and staff over the manufactured outrage against COVID-19 mitigation measures. And I will provide the facts to counter the fiction, like speaking out for equitable and consistent school funding, despite the fictional narrative that districts can meet their needs with one-time federal money. And by doing all this, I will continue to put kids first. And what's best for our children is what's best for Wisconsin. And what's best for our children includes access to early childhood education, respected teachers, mental health support, and robust and reliable funding. An education about who exactly Martin Luther King was. We're going to get into that in a little bit. I got an article from Reggie Jackson. Sheds a little bit of light on who Martin Luther King was a little bit further in detail. Give me a call, 844-967-2789, BK, flying solo on Dueling Tangents.